All right, Nicole, we are live. So thanks so much for sitting down and talking with me about your history with hip-hop on campus and life in hip-hop. So just for the record, the time is about 7:02. It is Tuesday, October 2nd. And I think that's all. So if you wouldn't mind, would you please just sort of introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah. It's Nicole Brown. I'm a senior at the college. I'm involved with the B-Boy Club or Smiles Crew on campus here, and I've been involved for the last 2 years. So I joined when I was a sophomore, and that's when I started breaking as well. And that was sort of very much my introduction into the hip-hop world, so to speak. But yeah, it's been an amazing experience. We're very much like a family, so it's been great.
All right. I guess the first place to start, we're going to start with a sort of William & Mary history of... as you've experienced it, of hip-hop culture. So what comes to mind when you hear hip-hop at William & Mary?
Well, I don't know. William & Mary is a very interesting place. Like, thinking of hip-hop in general, I don't think William & Mary would even come up in the radar at all. But I feel like in the years that Smiles Crew has been around, and from like the original founding fathers that created it like 5 years ago, I don't even know how long ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, they've been really like influential in bringing hip hop and like the philosophy behind hip hop into William & Mary. And along with them, there's also been like, forgetting the name, student hip-hop organization, but they're sort of not as present on the scene as they used to be. But they're very influential in like bringing hip-hop artists to campus and like exposing them to the student body who isn't very like hip-hop minded at all. And then there are new things like the Cypher that started like last year, where it's bringing more of like the emceeing and the spoken word aspects of hip hop on campus. So,
You mentioned like student hip hop organizations, Cypher, some of these other groups or organizations, and also show bringing. Or holding conference, or not conferences, but concerts and things like that. Anything in particular in terms of you know, in terms of MCs or anybody that have come to campus that jumped to mind?
I mean, outside of the things that like Smiles Crew has done, probably not. I mean, like Alma Mater or AMP has brought like Big Sean to campus, which is like, I don't know.
And now, when was that?
That was last fall.
Okay.
I think around homecoming. I'm not sure if it was the homecoming concert or like before or something. But yeah.
Have you attended any of the concerts on campus?
Yeah, I've been to most of them.
What's been the reaction by the campus community? I mean, they really enjoyed it, or a lot of people show up?
Well, I mean, not a lot of people even knew who Big Sean was when he came, so that was interesting. I mean, a lot of people, or the people who knew about him because of his song with Chris Brown. And therefore, like, I mean, there's some people on campus, like, didn't really come, and then there was a large group of people from outside of the campus who ended up coming to that concert, because a lot of people from like Virginia Beach or like Hampton, Norfolk, from those areas came because they like knew more about like Big Sean.
Has there ever been, what's the state of sort of hip-hop on the college radio station? Is that even something that's on your radar or on most folks' radar?
Well, actually, like on WCWM, that radio, well, they do some stuff with local hip-hop artists. So actually last year they brought, for their WCWM Fest, they bought, what's her name? Something Unique, or Dominique Young Unique, I think was her name. But she was a local Richmond, like, rapper slash hip-hop artist, which was really amazing. Because I guess sort of, like, the alternative scene is more ingrained with, getting more ingrained with hip-hop now on the William Wright campus. I don't know if they play a lot of hip-hop music on their radio station. But I know also at the Meridian they brought a couple like rappers or hip hop artists there.
And in terms of in terms of the way that these events, the non B boy club or sponsor stuff is advertised, is it? I mean, is it advertised pretty widely? Does the campus community really know that these events are going on?
I mean, AMP is like, all their events are huge, and they run like all the mainstream concerts that go on. So I mean, their advertisements are everywhere. And usually everyone knows about them.
So in terms of just hip hop culture on campus, how would you describe it? I mean, in terms of folks knowing about it or appreciating it, what's the level of saturation?
I would say it's not very visible at all. Like, it's starting to become more so present, but like the larger community doesn't know anything about the philosophy behind hip hop or the history, rather than what they see on like TV.
And by community, do you mean campus community or like the greater Williamsburg area?
I mean the campus community. I'm not really certain about the greater Williamsburg community. I feel like they would be more integrated, slightly.
Okay, so
maybe that's just like demographics of like the students who come to William & Mary versus the population that's already in Williamsburg.
What do you mean by that? Do you mind expanding on that?
I mean, you could go like racially. Could be like the most obvious thing. A lot of the population in Williamsburg, well, there is a very large like African American population. Also, sort of like poverty is a big thing in Williamsburg. But also, like, I mean, William & Mary is completely separate from that. I mean, it's a college campus. A lot of very affluent students from all around the U.S. and internationally come here because of its name. So.
And, okay, let's put a, we'll sort of jump away from that, but if I forget, I want to get back to just sort of the experience of hip-hop and demographics a little bit later in the talk. But so going back to events on campus, now I actually want to talk about Smiles Crew and B-Boy Club. So how did you get involved with B-Boy Club and Smiles Crew?
I got involved with it kind of randomly. I knew of a couple of the other people who were in the crew their freshman year, so Matt and Alice, namely. And my sophomore year, I came back to campus sort of wanting to get into new activities on campus, and I've always been, like, interested in dance. I've been, like, a big, like, freestyle dancer, like, my entire life, but never really done anything organized. So I was interested in joining, like, a hip-hop crew or just doing something to get more integrated into, like, a formalized style of dance. So Alice told me about B-Boy Club and how, like, they would teach you, and, like, you really didn't have to have any experience. So I came out, and I just kept coming.
So sophomore year, this would have been 2010, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of interested, you talk about, in terms of your personal history of dancing, as, like, being someone who freestyles. So, and then and then sort of transitioning into this sort of structured world of of breaking, which
roughly structured,
right? Yeah, which, you know, a lot of folks would, well, to like outside eyes would be like, mm-hmm. "What do you mean structured?" Right?
Yeah.
So, but in your mind, how does freestyle? How do the two styles sort of differ, and where do they have commonalities?
Well, I mean, they most definitely interplay, mm-hmm. But you have to have the foundations of breaking mm-hmm. before you can really like delve into the more expressive ends of like creating your own style mm-hmm. and really freestyling with your breaking. Because mm-hmm. if you just like straight jump into like the freestyle, mm-hmm. you're not really grounded in actual breaking.
So describe the foundations of breaking.
Well, I mean, it's starting off with, you know, six step or mm-hmm. like Indian step, doing top rocking, floor work, and then eventually moving on to like more floor work and like threading and power moves and things mm-hmm. like that.
In terms of like six step, mm-hmm. And you said, I mean, just if you wouldn't mind, sort of describe them, if you can, in a way, so that when folks are going to come to this recording,
yeah.
they'll be able to understand what you mean. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So, I mean, top rocking. That's when you're standing, and I mean, it's very hard to, I guess, verbally explain. But it's the very beginning of your dance. It's sort of where you present yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're in like a cipher in a battle, mm-hmm. you start off with your top rocking, and that's your introduction like to your dance. And I mean, I think top rocking is where you can play a lot with the music mm-hmm. And those elements in the dance. So you want to try and emphasize on whether like your steps or your kicks, you're emphasizing the beats that are hitting on the music. And that's where like b-boy comes from. It's like you hit the breaks mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. music, so you're a break boy mm-hmm. or a b-boy. And then once you go down, all those moves are floor work. Mm-hmm. So when you're on your hands and your feet, and the most well-known floor work move is six step. Mm-hmm. So you're basically on your hands and your feet, and your legs take six steps around mm-hmm. your body, mm-hmm. And you move in a sort of circular motion. Mm-hmm. So, and then you can branch off from there.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of once you've built this base or foundation mm-hmm. with the sort of the crucial elements of breaking.
Yeah.
What does that allow you to do?
I mean, that really allows you to sort of take more personal elements, mm-hmm. I guess, of your movement and express them like to other people. Mm-hmm. So working with also the music that's, you know, being played, but also, I don't know, toying with other styles, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. even incorporating different things that like maybe more athletically based or something, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or just really an expression of feelings that can't really be expressed in any other way than through movement.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe your style?
I don't know. I think it's something that I'm still, I mean, it comes with time. Mm-hmm. Like my style is somewhat eclectic. I don't know.
Mm. has your previous experience with freestyle, has that, how has that impacted the way that you've been able to work towards creating a style, a breaking style?
I think it's made me a lot more confident in mm-hmm. being able to like explore different styles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just because I'm just used to like going with whatever music I'm hearing and mm-hmm, reacting. Mm-hmm. So really I can transition into different things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that sort of allows me to be very versatile, whereas someone who just came into breaking, starting dancing, they may be more timid, and like, I don't know, less expressive.
Is there a, well, in your opinion, is there a, like an end point to breaking? Is there, are you reaching for, you know, some sort of like platonic ideal in terms of what you're hoping to be? I mean, you know, is there, well, is there a moment, or can you imagine a moment when you're like, I've made it, whatever that is?
Yeah, well, I mean, somewhat, but not really. I think breaking is all about just individual progression. For me, I don't really have any, like, professional, like, ideal goals with breaking. I mean, I would just love to continue to grow and, like, and compete. To compete would be amazing. Whether that, like, being in a crew or just individually, like, entering into battles. Yeah, I think it's just, like, breaking makes me personally feel really good because I'm able to express myself and I'm able to, like, stay active and dance. So, yeah, I would just like to continue it for those reasons.
Now, does breaking allow... What is it about breaking that allows you to express yourself in a way that perhaps you might not be able to do in another fashion?
I don't think it's anything different than you would be able to express, like, through music or through, like poetry or something like that. It's just a different form. So yeah, instead of like musical notes, it's just like positions of your body and and movements. I don't know, that's sort of just come from within. Like, I don't know, it's maybe less orchestrated than, you know, like formulating a poem or like a song or something like that. But I guess it could be if you're like choreographing. But yeah.
So... speaking of choreographing, what was were you around Smiles Crew and B-Boy Club when the sort of rift with Syndicate took place?
Well, somewhat. Like when I joined the club, it was already sort of a lot of bad blood between the two groups, and then it just sort of like progressed through that year. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting, like, relationship, I guess, because, I guess they're a lot more well-known on campus as being a dance and a hip-hop crew, but they don't really, like, show, I don't know, any connection to hip-hop culture really at all, besides just dance. And I guess if you can roughly call that hip-hop dancing. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the people who have been in Smiles Crew have also been in Syndicate, and like that's like where we get that information from. It's not just out of nowhere.
Right,
because like people who have been really ingrained in hip hop culture and like everything that goes along with it have been in Syndicate and tried to get them to move forward, or for them to be more inclusive. I don't know, of other elements of hip hop. But they haven't really been responsive.
So, you know, in terms of talking about the sort of rift with Syndicate, which of course I've heard, you know, from talking with other folks, but bringing up the idea that in some way not really sort of paying close attention to sort of hip-hop culture or presenting it. So I guess the roundabout way of sort of leading me to the next question in terms of, so how would you define hip-hop?
It's a hard one, I guess. But I mean, like, you can go back to the original elements of hip-hop and how it started off being based upon breaking, DJing, emceeing, what's the other one? I'm forgetting.
Graffiti.
But, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Smile Screw tries to embody those things, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. obviously we're not doing all of them. Mm-hmm. But we also try to connect with the larger hip-hop community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that's really important, because you get more sides of the picture, mm-hmm. Rather than just dancing. Like, we try to go to other events, like JMU is really good at incorporating all of the events, all the elements of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Their event Circles is, like, one of the biggest, mm-hmm. Breaking jams in the East Coast. Really, in Virginia.
And when is that? I mean, is it yearly or?
It's every year. It's in the spring.
Okay.
Usually around like May, April.
Okay.
But yeah, they bring people from all over the country to compete. Like some of the biggest B-boys were judging the year before. Mm-hmm. Like B-Mo Negin was one of their judges. And he's like a world champion. Mm-hmm. And they like set up boards for people to do like graffiti on them. Mm-hmm. And like they have MC battles. Mm-hmm. And they bring really good DJs who play a lot of good hip hop music for the battles. Mm-hmm. And then they also have just ciphers, mm-hmm. where they do house music as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really, and they bring out vendors who like, I don't know, sell hip hop clothing, mm-hmm. or like. Mm-hmm. are embodied under the hip hop model.
Yeah, so it's, it's really an event honoring hip hop culture in all its forms.
Okay. Definitely.
So it's a good transition then to talking about the sort of, if you wouldn't mind talking about the types of events that B-Boy Club and Smile Screw puts on.
Mm-hmm. Our biggest event, not last year, the year before, was Tribal Breaks, and that was a jam that we put on in the spring. Mm-hmm. And basically we...
Spring of 11 or 10?
11.
Okay.
Yeah. So the year before last. And we basically had $1,000 prize, mm-hmm. for, mm-hmm. any breaking crew to come and compete. It was... I believe 3-on-3.
Okay, that's a nice bit of cash. Where did the money come from?
It was really just scrounging from, mm-hmm. any place we could get it. Mm-hmm. We like had to plead with student assembly, mm-hmm. to give us money to like pay judges and the DJ, mm-hmm. and things like that, because those were also big costs. Actually, I think the majority of the prize money just came from entrance fee. We had students pay $10 to get in. We were just kind of hoping that we had enough by the end of it to
cover.
Pay the winner.
Yeah,
it was sort of just like counting every person who came in.
Yeah.
Oh, we have this many people left. But then also all the competitors had to pay the entrance fee as well. So okay. That gave us a little more buffer. Mm-hmm. And we had... I want to say over 20 crews.
Wow,
that came to compete.
Yeah,
and some from New York, mm-hmm. and like all over the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So that was really great to see, and it was really just unprecedented because nothing like that had really been done on campus to, mm-hmm. our knowledge before. Mm-hmm. And it was bringing like influential people in the hip hop scene, mm-hmm. from the East Coast to William & Mary.
Right, who. You know, if you wouldn't mind just sort of running down some of the names of everybody that you were able to get to come, that would be...
Yeah. So, like, our MC was Gorilla Will. Mm-hmm. He's really big in Zulu Nation, mm-hmm. and really well-known in the hip-hop scene. Mm-hmm. In general, he's an MC for, like, the majority of, like, breaking events, mm-hmm. in, like, Virginia and, like, around the East Coast. We also got DJ Flag to come out from D.C., mm-hmm. He's like affiliated with Lions of Zion.
Okay.
And
DJ
Flag.
Okay. Lions
of Zion. So another like pretty well known name, mm-hmm. in the breaking world. Mm-hmm. We also got three pretty well known judges. Mm-hmm. forgetting their names. it's not coming to me.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah. And
then where were where did the B-boy crews come from?
The B-boy crews really from all over. I mean, majority from Virginia, but like I said, there were, I think there was one crew from New York. I want to say like one from Pennsylvania, but I'm not really sure. Yeah, just the greater, like, DMV area. So yeah, we got like people from Lions of Zion to come out. Like loosely, he's a really is a well-known b-boy in New York. And then like some like good local people from Richmond, like the Exos, who actually got second place behind the New York crew, the Dynamic Rockers.
The Dynamic Rockers came down. Okay.
Yeah. And then we had one of the guys in our club. Jake competed with his crew, which was really great. So we had some William & Mary representation going on. But yeah, just really all over.
And in terms of the network, to sort of get the word out, how is that network established? How do you know who to get in touch with?
Yeah, that was, a really big part of the whole process. And that was sort of run by Ben, Nolan, Jake, and Mark, who are like the founding fathers of Smiles Crew, because they had already very much established a lot of the links within the community that were necessary to get this event off the ground. So that was from going to jams, and since Jake competed in battles and things like that, he knew a lot of the other b-boys, and he would tell them about that we have a jam coming up. And we posted online, we posted the event on, I think, B-Boy World, B-Boy Spot, and things like that. And then, obviously, since we had a $1,000 prize, like, that got a lot of people's, eyes to come on over, because we sort of knew that we had to have something like that.
Right.
No one else would come out to the middle of nowhere, Williamsburg, to dance. So.
Okay, so that was Tribal Breaks.
Yeah.
Now I know that gearing up for Origins 2. And then Origins 1 was last year. So you mind talking about sort of the history behind Origins and...
I mean, the whole idea of having Origins as well as Tribal Breaks was to just... expand the presence of hip-hop on campus. So to move away from the battle scene into more choreographed dance. So just expressing that in a different way. But we also wanted to bring out well-known choreography groups from D.C. and Maryland and Virginia and from the other universities that we had connections with to show William & Mary what else was out there. And we weren't trying to be assholes about Syndicate, really. It's just that William & Mary goes to their shows and thinks this is it, and thinks this is sort of maybe the best of hip hop that they can see. And we sort of wanted to show them that there's so much more, and so much that they haven't seen yet, and so much that they could delve into. So yeah, and by naming it Origins, we wanted to sort of draw back upon the foundations of hip hop. And once again, we asked Gorilla Will to come out, and he was the MC for the event, and sort of harking upon that message a little bit.
So he was able to use his platform as a former chapter head of Virginia Beach Zulu Nation to sort of incorporate his message as well.
Yeah, that was sort of the main purpose.
All right, so now in terms of in the classroom, what sort of I don't know, hip-hop moments or has happened in the classroom? Has hip-hop been a course of study? Have you taken any classes? Do you know of classes?
I've heard of some classes. I personally haven't taken any.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was like a summer class on like hip-hop culture, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Actually a class I'm taking now is sort of like going to get into somewhat hip-hop culture.
Mm-hmm,
It's called Nubia in American Thought.
Okay.
So future in the class, we'll talk about how sort of Nubian ideology was present in a lot of American music,
mm-hmm,
and like hip-hop music. So like going back to how, I don't know, like one of the most powerful like African like kingdoms, I don't know, it's complicated because
mm-hmm.
the first African Americans who came to the US, they sort of used the lineage
mm-hmm.
to Nubia
mm-hmm.
as a way to draw back to their African heritage,
mm-hmm.
And so they held that in a very high prestige, so even some people would change their names to like after they were freed from slavery,
mm-hmm.
they would change their name to an African king, like Tiki or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So just showing how like African Americans or Africans were once powerful people,
mm-hmm.
and eventually
mm-hmm.
we'll go back to that. And then like hip hop artists have like harked upon that, like Nas and like, I don't know, Lauryn Hill,
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
like that have.
So I mean, you bring up a question, but it brings an interesting point in terms of historically and culturally from the communities where hip-hop emerged,
mm-hmm.
African-American, Latino,
yeah.
As well, in terms of demographics. So, I mean, how do you see that translating in terms of hip-hop culture on this campus, getting back to the demographics of this campus, and even
yeah.
and even the demographics of Smiles Crew as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, William & Mary is like somewhat of a diverse place,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe not as much socioeconomically.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, breaking and hip hop, they were all started in like the Bronx, and it was all about the struggle, sort of about people in the urban communities
mm-hmm.
using dance and graffiti and
mm-hmm.
Music and seeing to sort of get through their daily lives of being in poverty or like being in the struggle, and using the music to sort of break through those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess, I don't know, we try to incorporate hip hop, I don't know, in the more general sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't really be recreated
right,
into
right.
anything that
mm-hmm.
it was
mm-hmm.
when it first started. I mean, hip-hop in general is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the world-breaking scene, that's completely different than
mm-hmm.
what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's become so much more popular in Europe and in Asia and, you know, cultures that are so seemingly different
mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
New York
mm-hmm.
in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is just translating the philosophy behind it, and going back to using dance as expressing oneself and using it to, I don't know, yeah, get through hard times. And
mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, we keep, I mean, of course, I mean, even without thinking about it, we'll say like B-Boy, I mean, it's called B-Boy Club.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, or, so we keep using the sort of, you know, we keep throwing gender into it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you would mind talking about, I mean, how do you sort of navigate B-boy versus breaking in terms of just the fact that you're a woman, and it
yeah.
seems to be that you know, even the terms themselves are sort of very structured along
mm-hmm.
masculine lines.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting sort of topic within, I don't know, the whole hip-hop community
mm-hmm.
and hip-hop in general. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, b-boy, roughly, that term, I mean, a lot of people say that it sort of stems to everyone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, anyone can be a b-boy, whether it's, you know, a boy or a girl. But, I mean, I personally call myself a b-girl. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. Like, in general, b-girls aren't really that well-respected in the breaking community. Just, like, in comparison to, mm-hmm. like, the very famous b-boys that are very popular and very mm-hmm. famous. There's no really, like, b-girls that are on mm-hmm. that same level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, why?
I mean, I don't have that answer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, maybe that's just, like, mass perceptions of, I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They just don't really make it that far because maybe they're not propelled on the same level that mm-hmm. male mm-hmm. b-boys are. Or sort of maybe they don't have as many opportunities mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. reach those sort of levels.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so in terms of the breaking world, mm-hmm. Is there a glass ceiling?
I would say to some degree, mm-hmm. yeah. I don't know, maybe that'll change when, like, in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are definitely a lot of girls who are in the scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. A lot are visible. And I think locally, like, girls can have a big presence. I think it's just, like, getting into the more, like, national scene or, like, mm-hmm. international competitions, like, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, B-girls aren't really that present. But, like, I mean, at Tribal Breaks, like, the runner-up crew, like, their best breaker was a girl. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, in Smile's crew, we've been really big about having a very big female presence, mm-hmm. Which is really interesting, 'cause I mean, I think within Virginia, Smiles Crew has become, like, one of the best well-known mm-hmm. breaking crews. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, female-run mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, yeah.
By Alice. And we've been, like, majority girls at sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. I mean, we don't try to, I don't know, necessarily sort of differentiate people by gender mm-hmm, or whatever mm-hmm. That shouldn't be a factor mm-hmm, in, like, mm-hmm. dancing at all, but I think as, like, being a female, I definitely want there to be more female mm-hmm. faces just mm-hmm. because it's not something that people see on the regular. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when people think of breakdancing, they don't think of girls,
right?
So it's good to have that on campus, and because we're so visible, and we do a lot of things for the campus community, I think little by little we may be changing people's perceptions on mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. And hopefully influencing, you know, mm-hmm. the VA hip-hop scene. Mm-hmm.
So, wanna jump to sort of the VA hip-hop scene in a minute, but mm-hmm. before that, I wanted to have a quick question, interested in terms of what do you like to break to? I mean, what kind of music?
Well, I really didn't get into breaking music for mm-hmm. like a really long time. Mm-hmm. I'm still not the biggest fan of all break beats. Mm-hmm. But I can, like, I like them roughly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of very interdisciplinary in my style, I guess,
in music.
Right. I can really listen to anything. And break to it. I don't know. I've sort of been getting into more, like, house-styled and electro-influenced music. Mm-hmm. It sort of has, like, a higher energy mm-hmm. for me than mm-hmm. breaking does at some points. But, I mean, I think you can really break to anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people mm-hmm. may disagree on
right.
that.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of what Smiles Crew mm-hmm. what does, B-Boy Club, is there an emphasis on you know, sort of only breaking to the classic breaks, or you know, following the line of ultimate breaks and beats, like all those records. I mean, is there, mm-hmm. I guess, how ecumenical is Smiles Club in terms of music?
I think in the beginning we like to sort of introduce people like dancing to break beats, mm-hmm. Just so they sort of have that base ingrained, mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then sort of we're really inclusive in getting any style of music out there, along with any dance, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not just strictly breaking. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of house stuff. We do popping, locking. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we have specific people who specialize in just those things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all about sort of bringing all of that together. If someone wants to listen to, like, a new track, mm-hmm. they're free to put it on. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I mean, we just want people to feel the same way that we do, mm-hmm. about dance and about, mm-hmm. the music that's incorporated with it.
So I take it that's for, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays and maybe Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
But does the music selection change, like if you're going to go do a competition or battling or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if, like, we've done, like, performances to, mm-hmm. William & Mary, mm-hmm. Where we try to incorporate, like, new music, mm-hmm. obviously, mm-hmm. like, but we also have done performances where we do, like, transitions from, like, old, like, Nina Simone, mm-hmm. breakbeat mixes, mm-hmm. To, like, Skrillex, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. sort of, like, where we're showing the juxtaposition with, like, the new and the old, so sort of, we're just trying to, with performances, it's all about getting the audience's attention. Mm-hmm. And music is really important with that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think we can really get away with playing all old breakbeats.
Right,
and people
right.
being like, what is this music? I've never heard this before. Mm-hmm. But we still want to have elements of that, those styles, mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. So maybe like more modern music, but with breakbeats, or something like old Kanye West, mm-hmm. that has like breakbeats in it, mm-hmm. but like, mm-hmm. that the audience would know, like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, that's like Touch the Sky or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's trying to make things more commercial, but still, mm-hmm. Applicable to the hip hop.
So you mentioned that Smiles Crew has become sort of, in your estimation, most well known. Perhaps crew in Virginia?
I'd say B-boy crew, yeah.
B-boy crew.
We've become the largest, I think.
Okay, so, I mean, if you wouldn't mind, what is your sense of Virginia's hip-hop culture? How would you describe it?
I mean, there are definitely, like, pockets of it all around. Virginia Beach is really strong. Nova's, mm-hmm. becoming more strong. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then also, like, Tech and JMU have big scenes because they have big campus communities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they also have really good hip-hop crews. Mm-hmm. They also have breaking crews. And those groups are well connected with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't think William & Mary's, like, in Williamsburg is on the same level as, mm-hmm. maybe those places. Mm-hmm. Just because we're still making our way up.
Right.
But I think in the breaking world, we're sort of, causing a rift, or, I don't know, becoming more present. And a lot of people know that. I'm involved with other organizations that, mm-hmm. Kodachrome namely, that works with all the universities in Virginia and does workshops at them. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even within that organization, we're sort of known as the breaking school. And every time we've had a workshop here, we've incorporated either breaking or, like, new styles of dance. Mm-hmm. So last year we had a breaking workshop. The year before we had one of the guys in our crew he competes doing electro dance. Mm-hmm. So that was really different. So we're known to sort of, like, bring different things to the table. Mm-hmm. and we're like getting a name for that.
Okay. So I'm glad you mentioned Kodachrome. Would you mind telling me about that, what it is, and also the history of Kodachrome?
Mm-hmm. So I'm the William and Mary representative for Kodachrome. I've been it for the past 2 years. And the whole idea behind Kodachrome is exposing dance, exposing all styles, really, but roughly focused around hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to set up dance workshops at each university in Virginia, and now it's expanded to North Carolina as well.
Okay.
So they've sort of created this community. So they want people to travel to each university, and each university would showcase a local talent and then like bring another choreographer in.
Okay.
So it's just gaining a better sense of the dance scene in that area and the talent in that area as well.
Okay.
So the whole idea is sort of cultivating and spreading spreading the knowledge of dance and connecting people mostly. So it's sort of bringing people from all over, exchanging dance and like getting them to collaborate for future things. Kodachrome's also active. They do like dance competitions and showcases and things like that.
So Kodachrome started as a Virginia thing? I mean,
yeah. I'm not sure exactly. I want to say it started in Richmond.
Okay.
Or Virginia Beach. I'm leaning more towards Richmond.
Okay.
Because a lot of people who are higher up in the organization went to VCU.
Okay.
And yeah, are centered around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I don't know how I forgot talking about Richmond before. But yeah.
Is it connected in any way with show, since show started in VCU?
I think roughly. I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
But I know they like to do some things with show, or like, I don't know, they hold show in a very high regard.
Okay.
They have a lot of respect for show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you become the representative?
Yeah.
The William Mary representative for Kodachrome.
Well, before I was the representative, Ben Yu was the representative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, he was the first one who got involved with Kodachrome at William and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a couple of workshops with him, got introduced to a bunch of people, sort of just started on from there, and he sort of like passed down the mantle to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, this could be because I've primarily been talking with a lot of Smiles Crew folks and Breakers to start for this collection, but it seems that in terms of hip hop culture in Virginia, like statewide, that breaking is really, that Virginia really has a name through breaking. Is that true, or is that just?
I don't know if it has such big of a name that like translates like nationally.
Okay.
I mean, I think DC is coming a lot bigger. So like roughly that stems down to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean like Lions of Zion is getting really big.
Okay.
They're a big DC crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dom Key, who's in Lions of Zion, he just won the US qualifier for BC1, which is the biggest like one-on-one breaking competition. But I mean, I would say like, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of like random places where b-boying is really big. Like, I just saw like some articles about Minnesota being really big in the hip-hop scene. Like, I mean, obviously California, New York. Virginia's like making its way up there. But I think Well, definitely in terms of like urban style and hip hop dance in general, like going outside of breaking, East Coast is way behind West Coast.
Okay.
That's for sure.
And why is that?
I'm not really sure. A lot of really great dancers come from the West Coast or have become really big in the West Coast. I don't know if that has something to do with the lifestyle. or just the sunny weather. But yeah, I don't know. And there are just a lot of more popular urban styles that are on the West Coast, like electro, like I said before. One of the kids in Smiles crew was a big electro dancer, but he like went to the West Coast to compete and things like that.
Okay.
And electro is huge on the West Coast, and no one knows about it on the East Coast.
Okay.
So just things like that.
In terms of like, how would you describe like the Hampton Roads region and Southside? So like Richmond to Virginia Beach. How would you describe that in terms of hip hop and hip hop culture?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really spent that much time in Virginia Beach, but I mean, obviously we have ties with like Gorilla Will and like a couple of people at ODU. And they do they do a lot of really good things actually. But it's not a huge scene, but maybe it's more, it's maybe more like ingrained in the community.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. I just feel like they would be more likely to put on more hip hop events, but like, I don't. But maybe like, I actually don't know where I'm going with this.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, in terms of, what do you think that sort of your role, and Smiles Crew role, and being involved with Kodachrome, your role is in sort of hip-hop culture in this area?
I mean, I think it's just being involved with Smiles Crew. We're just trying to, like, make our mark little by little with William and Mary. And, I don't know, make it more attractive to hip-hop culture and get people to sort of know, like, what we know about it. So just spreading that knowledge. And I mean, I look at myself within the club sort of as a mentor of that. I'm really big about pushing the philosophy that got me really into breaking to the new people. So,
Which was?
Just really, I mean, dance is just a way of expressing yourself and like really freeing who you are and sort of leaving everything like behind that you have going on in your personal life, just like leaving that outside and just freestyling or breaking or doing whatever. And yeah, just really doing you and using that hour or two to put yourself out there on the floor.
Okay, so I actually want to switch a little bit. We still have some time. If you wouldn't mind, I don't remember if you'd say, but where did you grow up?
I grew up in Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia? Okay.
So, yeah.
So Nova.
Yeah. Nova.
So yeah, I mean, sketch it a little bit for me. Like describe what does it mean to grow up there, and what did it mean for you to grow up there?
Well, I mean, like I don't know, Nova, interesting place. I'm not that fond of it, not gonna lie. I think Northern Virginia just sort of like breeds a very like gross culture of like entitled people. I don't know, very like affluent communities. I don't know, who just think they're like entitled to a lot in the world. I mean, really good education system. I mean, that's why I'm out way in there. But culturally, it's very like cut off from the rest of the world.
So, in terms of being exposed to hip hop, was there much exposure going on? I mean, because you, I mean, of course, you mentioned that you didn't really come to hip hop until
yeah.
you were down here. So I'm just curious, like, in high school, was hip hop something that like folks were into?
Definitely not. Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not at all. I don't think I went to any really hip hop events
mm-hmm.
in Northern Virginia at all, and that wouldn't have even been a thing where I grew up.
Let's see. Well, what was your first memory of hip hop?
I don't know. I guess like one of the first CDs I got.
Mm-hmm.
Was like a Tupac CD,
mm-hmm.
And that was like my favorite CD.
Mm-hmm.
so I guess
how old were you?
Roughly, that was my first introduction to hip hop.
Okay, and I mean, when did you get the CD in college?
No,
okay.
When I was really young,
okay.
actually.
Okay.
But like, yeah, I never really took it as anything other than just like songs to listen
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in terms of your family,
mm-hmm.
do you relatives, siblings that are into hip hop? Are you folks into hip hop? I mean, what?
Yeah, I wouldn't say my folks are that big into hip hop. I mean, like, we listen to a lot of like Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
like I say,
mm-hmm.
like growing up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of like how I roughly started like freestyle dancing because
mm-hmm.
we would just like play music in the house and people would dance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not anything really ingrained in hip-hop culture. Like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really have that sort of, like, home education of
mm-hmm.
hip-hop. And my siblings weren't really that into it either. I mean, my brother was into, like, R&B
mm-hmm.
And things like that. Yeah.
Okay, and so what does your family think about your passion for breaking, and your really sort of deep involvement in hip hop culture now.
Mm-hmm. I think they find it kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of just like don't really understand where it came from,
mm-hmm.
but I mean they're all about it. They're very supportive. They actually have never seen me dance.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is interesting. They haven't been able to make it out to any of the events here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I talk about it a lot, and it's become a big part of my life. So, like, they definitely know that. And they don't really think anything else of it.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to get them down to come for Origins too?
Hopefully. I think, yeah, I want them to come
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially because it's my last year I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like the last time I'm gonna be involved in like a big event like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully.
Okay, so let's see. So how do you view yourself in terms of hip hop history and culture?
Well, I mean, I think through my involvement at William, I become more ingrained with it, and like I've taken the effort to sort of like self-educate myself. So like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. So you made the final sort of wrap up stuff. I mean, you mentioned that like Origins is gonna be your last big show here
yeah.
as a part of Smiles Crew.
And hopefully travel breaks in the spring.
And travel
so,
break
yeah.
so that. So these two coming up, I mean, where do you see the place of breaking and sort of hip-hop culture in your life sort of after William & Mary?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to carry on dancing for sure,
mm-hmm.
Like after I leave William & Mary. There's no doubt about that. Whether it's being in a crew or just practicing and sessioning with other people,
mm-hmm.
Wherever I'm going to be. And yeah, and in terms of like, I guess the greater like emphasis behind hip hop, I mean, that'll always be a part of my life now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, I've been stressing on like the philosophy, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's sort of like honestly, it's sort of like changed my life. Mm-hmm. And it sort of affects everything that I do.
How so? Give me some nitty-gritty details.
I mean, it's just sort of just the way, like, I don't know. I guess I conceptualize things. I don't know. It's just sort of like releasing your passion. I mean, it's not like I haven't been passionate about other things before dancing. I mean, I was really big into music and things like that. But just like breaking is just very different. And I don't know. It sort of takes you places. It's taken me places mentally that I guess I haven't gone before. Sort of in like a roughly spiritual sense. I know it's sort of hard to translate to other people. Sort of like the impact that being involved with Smiles Crew has had. But I mean, yeah.
So we've actually, we, you know, in the course of talking, we did everything. However, is there something else that you would like to add or talk, or was there something that I missed or perhaps should have asked?
I'm trying to think of other things that maybe. I don't know. I think did a good job. I mean, I guess just other things that have helped me, like, learn more about, like, breaking in hip-hop history. Sort of, like, documentaries and things like that. Yeah. Like, as a crew, we watched The Freshest Kids together.
Yeah. That's actually a good question.
Yeah. And so, we try to do that every year. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, I mean, that documentary talks about the beginnings of hip-hop and sort of, like, what we try to be, like, all about. And so, like, I mean, we watch, like, The Freshest Kids, and then we also watch, like, Planet B-Boy, which is, like, a documentary on modern breaking and what it is today. It's drastically different because it's centered around a very big international competition. So B-Boys from all over the world. It sort of profiles all the different crews in each country and, like, talks about how they got involved with hip-hop and breaking. So that's really interesting and puts breaking in a more international sense. So,
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I was curious about, because it seems to be there's a very important emphasis placed on, like, a teaching element with Smiles Crew.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some sort of, like, pedagogical course that you guys go through. Mm-hmm. And so the documentary is a part of it, and is that something that so not only the dance but discussion about the history, I mean, is that something that's very much at the forefront of Smiles Crew?
Yeah, I mean, we try to incorporate it as much as possible. Because I mean, breaking is a lot different than like what it may seem from just like watching a video. Or like, I mean, a lot of the breaking you see today is sort of very much removed from what it originally started as. I mean, people doing like sets filled with power moves or like things that are more influenced by gymnastics and things like that than rather like the foundations. I mean, and that's a big thing in the B-boy community.
Yeah, are you cool with sort of the move towards like all sorts of power moves and aerial gymnastics and all that stuff?
I mean, personally, not really. But I find it really amazing that people can do those moves and things like that. And it's definitely taking breaking to a higher level athletically than it has ever been at. And making it technically a lot more difficult, I guess. But maybe reducing the sort of stylistically difficult aspects of breaking. So, I mean, I'm sort of, like, I mean, my favorite B-boys are more traditional in their style. And yeah, I mean, I enjoy both. I think more and more, it's breaking is becoming a mix of those and how you can interplay with, like, breaking on the beats and actually doing things that are stylistically interesting, but then incorporating the big moves. I mean, the crowd pleasers and things
like
that.
Right, so you can get the ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm interested to see where it will even progress to in the future. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I hope that it'll still be based upon the foundations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good. That is... If you're good, I'm good.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.